Blog Talk Radio.
Briar the King, and today is June 12th, 3:23. Got a later show today, but got a lot in store for you, as I was just recently catching up with Dark Side of the Ring these past couple of days with Magnum TA. It's been a good season so far, to say the very least, with Magnum TA, Chris Candido, and Big Genetti coming up, but we'll have that. Lots to talk about with the Stanley Cup final, as well as NBA final, as well as I guess some NBA trade rumors floating around, as well as what LeBron James has in mind for his future. So we'll get to all that. If you want to call into the show, the number to the show is, trying to just pull it up here. We got a lot of tabs here on my screen. It's 563-999-3522. Again, 563-999-3522. I'm your host, Julian Briar the King. And we'll have on actually a nice guest today from Inside Wrestling, Nate Monzo. He's going to buy a talk a little bit about Magnum TA and maybe what else has been going on in the wrestling world. But besides that, though, I always try to bring on as many guests possible, even callers. Been nonetheless here. Doing as much due diligence possible. So I guess I'm going off a tangent, but let's, I want to start off with Magnum TA, but since we're waiting on Nate, we'll, touch on, the NBA Finals first, and I believe the NBA Finals takes place today between the Miami Heat, Denver Nuggets, a elimination game between the Miami Heat and Denver Nuggets. Jokic came off yet another spectacular performance. Did he come off Yeah, another 30-plus point performance, plus point rebounds, or plus rebounds. Not necessarily, but he did just enough. And then after the game, he was seen. His family had attended the Miami Heat Denver Nuggets game in Miami. Many people attended there, including the Cavender twins. Conor McGregor, who was seen knocking out a mascot, and then Jokic's family all the way from Serbia. I thought it was very telling. One of the family relatives happened to be masked. Bit of tattoos. I guess you could call him Birdman the Second there in Miami, but no, seems to come from a nice, humble family, and they got to feel real proud, real good about Jokic's chances heading into the next and possibly final game of the series between the Miami Heat. It made me laugh that Michael Wilbon said at halftime, just take shots, basically, with the Miami Heat, just take shots. I mean, yeah, that's what they've been good at all postseason, but necessarily your time and luck runs out, especially against a team like Denver and Jokic, when obviously it's a glaring hole in Miami that may have to be established in the off season that they don't have. Hang on, I got to charge a laptop. Hang on. Apologize, guys. Want to keep the show on air? I got to charge the laptop. Give me 1 second. All right. We got, before it runs out of battery, let me just plug it in. All right, we're good. So, getting back to what I was saying, that tends to happen, but try to avoid that going forward. Too many shots, and yeah, and the fact that Bam is the first guy you just notice and go, he should definitely be not as good as Jokic, but somewhat of a good, say 30 plus point scorer at times if he's going to, I think. I mean, I said before, Bam contributes in the way Bam possibly can, especially with how Miami is structured around. But, I think in these next couple games now, we need to see Bam maybe not score more than 25 or 30, but at least someone down low, get up on Jokic and play good defense, because no one is essentially, and Jokic is just absolutely getting away with a reign of terror right now in Miami, and now throwing it back to Ball Arena. The Denver Nuggets have an opportunity to seal the deal, seize the opportunity with how well Jamal Murray has been playing as well. Some definitely arguing now that the Denver Nuggets are up 3-1, as if the Denver Nuggets are going to be able to form as dynamic of a duo as, say, Kobe and Shaq, for example, with Jamal Murray and Jokic. I said it before, but I wouldn't get so carried away. But now that we're this close in, the Denver Nuggets, I believe, are on the cusp of winning their first ever NBA Finals championship in history. That, you know, I'm going to go as far as to say Shaq was the most dominant center in all of history, but I still feel Jokic has time to expand upon his game like he always has. You know, maybe get bulkier down the line and become a better defender. I think those two areas definitely lack when you compare Jokic to Shaq. And then as far as Jamal Murray and Kobe is concerned, I think Noah matches the Black Mamba mentality, of course. But now I was watching Victor Wembanyama. As much as I harp on him at times, he just took a easy spinaway shot like Kobe, except this one was just as flawless. Looked like you could have easily topped this one off for Victor Wembanyama. In the case of Victor Wembanyama, in one gym practice session, I mean, he's shown the ability. I'm not going to get too far caught in a Victor Wembanyama, but I mean, in the case of Victor or Jamal, can he become as versatile, as gifted as Kobe, offensively speaking? I keep saying he's only 26, so and you look at him, he's arguably one of the best point guards in terms of size, and then you factor into what he's been able to do more off the dribble. I mean, add in a few sequences like Kobe maybe, and people start talking about Jamal Murray same breath as Kobe Bryant, I feel. But no, I don't think the more of the attention is always going to lean towards Jokic, is the way I feel. However, of course, maybe Murray down the line, he definitely has the potential, I feel, to win some kind of huge milestone or award. But in the case of Jokic, he's just absolute leader right now. And it's no doubt since right now, not only did I say Miami alum, Cavender Twins were spotted, but, you know, Bruce Brown's also Miami alum, known for that Miami run with Jim Larranaga and the U. And Bruce Brown just needs to, you know, I feel like some of the rest of the Denver Nuggets right now follow Jokic's lead and take advantage of whatever opportunity they can get. As I wouldn't only point towards Bruce Brown's way, I'd also point towards Michael Porter Jr.'s way, most particularly Michael Porter being the starter. And even though he had a better postseason than NBA Finals outing, I just find it still unacceptable for someone like Michael Porter Jr. to not be playing maybe as officially well as a first round rookie, saying Christian Braun right now. I mean, at least, you know, pick up the hustle like Christian Braun a little bit and do some of the extra little things out on the court, but yeah, especially as a wing. But you know, I say all this about Michael Porter Jr. and Bruce Brown because I think eventually down the line, I mean, just say if the NBA Finals were to end today, I think Michael Porter Jr. would be gone, and we might possibly see Bruce Brown or someone else suit up and, you know, earn a spot on a team that is looking to, I think, establish a dynasty at this point. Although I won't get into that much further later after the NBA Finals, if and when the Denver Nuggets do decide to win and pick up their first NBA Finals franchise history championship with Stan Kroenke, speaking of which, of the Los Angeles Rams, billionaire mobile entrepreneur, if you want to say, is been talked a lot about as well. He's been in the news. People wondering his stash of the Denver Nuggets. Him mostly having a stake in SoFi Stadium, the Los Angeles Rams, and you know, may very well just cherish the NBA Finals championship. And some are saying going to sell stake in the Denver Nuggets. I mean, I think that's the worst thing to happen for the Denver Nuggets right now. You don't want to pay that risk, but you know, can't think of too many other billionaires out there who'd be reasonably exceptional for the ownership position. Just going to quickly read some. Okay. Yeah, we're going to have, like I said, Nate Monzo on in a little bit. We're going to talk about Dark Side of the Ring, Magnum TA, the good times at NWA, WCW, Jim Crockett Promotions, and how, if you don't know, I'm talking about competed almost with Vince McMahon back at the time when WWF at the time boomed in the 80s with Hulkamania and other such I would say you know, just out there gimmicks, but but yeah, if you want to call in over to the show, it's 563-999-3522. I'm your host, Julian Bravo the King, and here at my cat, Steela. What's up? What up, Steel? Whoa. You're on there. You're famous. So yeah, actually, just on Twitter. Sometimes, of course, we go on Twitter and possibly read off some trends, what's happening, get my live reaction live on air. Really not much here, but, you know, of course, since we're starting a little bit later today, although yeah, it seems like a lot of NBA rumors on here, of course. NBA rumors. So let's talk a little bit while we're still on the topic of the NBA before getting Nate on. What I had seen right away on social media not too long ago, maybe a couple of days ago, prior to the last NBA Finals game, which was LeBron James saying that he wants a part in either the Golden State Warriors or Miami. I don't know if many of you have heard about this, and I don't think it has been really too leaked out much of yet. I think the media wants to be more occupied right now with what's going on with the NBA Finals, especially with LeBron James. But nonetheless, LeBron is reportedly contemplating taking his talents back to Miami or Golden State for one last run in the NBA itself. LeBron No, I can't see really playing with his son at this point, but and so if he were to go to the Miami Heat, just say the Miami Heat. I mean, right now the Miami Heat, of course, down 1-3 or 3-1 against the Denver Nuggets. I kind of want to see more versatility out of Bam. Like, he's a very explosive force down low. He can absolutely dunk the ball and be a presence down low, even when it comes to rebounding. But I just want to see more out of Bam, and I think if you were to pair LeBron James and Bam with Jimmy Butler, it might go all right, but I think Jimmy Butler is at that stage now that he's certainly sacrificing a whole lot, and I think it's going to be a lot of Jimmy Butler's court, a lot of Jimmy Butler's decision if he wants to play alongside LeBron James, take on that huge salary and invest another season or two with, as they call him, the king, you know. And I mean, Jimmy Butler, I think, has had a real solid run in Miami. Does he want to just possibly, there's chances LeBron comes to Miami that things, I think, are just maybe going to become quite spoiled in Jimmy Butler's run. This is Jimmy Butler's team, and, you know, and LeBron was part of the Heat before with Dwayne Wade at the time. There's a lot of mix and juggling between who's the real star of this team, who's the real leader, is it LeBron or Dwayne? But then, you know, there was sort of that Simba moment in the 2012 NBA Finals when Dwayne Wade handed off his virtuous property or rights to leading rights to LeBron James during the 2012 NBA Finals. So there's a lot to be made about LeBron James, and then you got the Golden State Warriors, of course. If LeBron James were to side with Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, you're talking about a whole bunch of other aging veterans at this point. It's not like Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson walking into a room during their prime years and inviting Kevin Durant to come join the Golden State Warriors. It's a completely different scenario, different case. I'm not too sure if LeBron has best interest in mind. But then again, we'll find out after the NBA Finals what his decision is, whether he'll return to the NBA or not. I think the best decision at this point is to just retire, because you even see him up on a Photoshop with Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and then himself. If we were to say maybe 5 or 7 years ago that LeBron would be suitably with them in Dallas, we'd say yes. But in the case of now, I just don't think that's quite the best case scenario for LeBron and his family. Of course, I think maybe LeBron would just hang it up and enjoy watching Bronny play at USC. I mean, if he was so more caught up with Bronny, he'd do that. But for some reason, he might want to pursue the game, or I don't know if he's pursuing the game or not. Is he really pursuing a championship at this point? I'm not too sure, but maybe he got that last swig after the Denver Nuggets of one to pursue an NBA Finals championship one last time. And hasn't that been LeBron's mindset his whole entire career? He's been, I want a big one for championships. So I'd also just invest in what's your passion at this point. Is it just playing a full regular season of basketball and playing for NBA Finals championship? Or is it really just going over to USC and watching Bronny play, which is, I think, totally and possibly the way to go at this point. So I'm going to take a quick sec and let you know. You can find Sports Kim on Twitter at Sports Kim TV. You can also go over to our Facebook, new Facebook page, as well as our site, SportsKimTV.com. So, I was on Twitter before this and caught news from Bill Simmons that the Sixers are apparently the front runners to go out and get Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal I said before would be a possible option, but based off the reaction I've gone pretty much based off trading Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris away for Bradley Beal, something that some Sixer fans aren't necessarily buying into. I mean, you could make an argument Tyrese Maxey could, like I said, become an all-star next year. But then again, this is, I think, a high-risk, high-reward season for not only Tyrese Maxey, but the Sixers as well. I think they're investing a whole lot of faith in Capita at this point with Tyrese Maxey. And I think this is possibly the Sixers' last chance to trade Tyrese Maxey if they really want to this offseason. And I just look at it this way. If Tyrese Maxey came out firing all cylinders, facilitating-wise and scoring-wise during the regular season and postseason even, I'll give him, the postseason, regular season, he definitely improved upon his shot, but look back at the postseason, he took some bad shots, and I think that eventually cost him down the line opportunities at getting more scoring opportunities and becoming one of the main components of the Sixers' postseason run this past year, especially against Boston. So even though I like Tyrese Maxey, I think he's going to have a nice career. We got a caller. Here we go. 860.
Hey, what's up? It's Nate. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
What are you talking about? What's that in the car?
Oh, I was just talking to NBA.
NBA? Yeah. Well, they closing up tonight, right? Nuggets?
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think?
Hopefully they close them out because I'm thinking tired of Miami. So, there you go.
Yeah. But what do you think about what do you think about the NXT Cavender Twins are there. I mean, what do you think about what's going on with NXT right now down in Florida?
With who?
The Cavender Twins.
What, I don't know. I really don't watch it, so I don't even have an opinion on it. Yeah, I'm mostly just AEW and New Japan. That's it.
Yeah, so
I don't like the fact that Nick Khan's trying to take credit for Triple H saying, NXT should be their
own. I think I lost you, Nate.
Oh. You there?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't like the fact that Nick Khan wants to take credit for NXT, saying it could be its own company and show and all that one. Triple H has been doing it for years,
Yeah. So,
and, I was talking on my show yesterday, what is Triple H's breaking point to leave the company? I mean, if he wasn't married to Stephanie, I think he would have been gone a long time ago, Triple H. So.
Yeah, I don't have too much to say about NXT. We were just going to talk about Magnum TA, NWA, WCW, as well as some other stuff. So, no, of course, plugging your show, Nate. You just recently talked about Forbidden Door.
Oh, Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
no,
I was listening to it. I mean, to be quite honest, I don't think I'm going to invest any of my money this year into Forbidden Door. Never have. And I think there's a case to be said right now. Some of the better wrestling's been going on. New Japan right now, they just came off all together again, all the Japanese wrestling promotions joined forces and put on a good collective event. But then again, I just question with, Tony Khan, why isn't he trying to basically, for certain fans, try to play along with some of the competition, try to outgrow and become a major force
I don't think Tony Khan's trying to basically compete with all these other companies. I think he just wants all these wrestling companies to work together to make a good product. I think that's what WWE's been lacking, is a good wrestling product for years. It's just been stale, and I like that they're working with New Japan. I like that they try to have like a working agreement with, Ring of Honor, Impact, and stuff like that, and all these other wrestling companies. I think that's what you need nowadays, And it just sucks that Vince is still in control, because I honestly believe if Triple H was running the company by himself, I honestly believe we would have WWE guys competing on the Forbidden Door pay-per-view, and fans would get dream matches that they want to see. It just sucks, but whatever. It is what it is. So Vince dies or fucking finally retires.
Honestly, I'm not real much of a fan of Vince McMahon or Triple H. Based off what I hear, people do like working with Triple H, but then again, I think there's some things he still needs to work on. Most particularly TV. I don't think there'll ever come a time again that WWE may be as good as it was before with Vince McMahon, but. Tony Khan, he has an opportunity with this Forbidden Door pay-per-view and now All In coming up. I mean, Nate, what do you think about All In? Who should be featured on the card? Because I think that's what's most
interesting. We're gonna get Jamie Hayter on there. She's from the United Kingdom. We're gonna get Mercedes Moné, Shreya. So that's gonna be good. You're definitely gonna get Will Ospreay, Omega, Punk. I don't know if this is true, but I guess they're talking about Goldberg and Ryback. But I think that's just a bunch of crap. They don't even need that garbage match on that match. I'd rather go freaking take a piss and watch that garbage. But it should be a good show. They already sold like 60,000 plus seats. Europe's always hangering. They got a big fan base there, so. It should be a good show. Hopefully it's streaming on Max or whatever and then pay-per-view, and I hope it's a good show. The only thing that's going to suck is we have to probably watch it like 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you want to watch it live. But other than that, it should be a good show, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I also wanted to go, but like I said, Ring of Honor's coming near my town soon, and, there's some other things going on. But, Tony Khan has an opportunity to, really seize on the opportunity here in London. Hopefully it doesn't become like a boom or bust situation where fans just watch the event and after just go, okay, I'm not going to invest any more of my time in the AEW basically that much anymore. I think the whole point of the event is to get the message across of AEW being a top promotion at the very least. You may not consider them competition WWE, but they got to really sell themselves, I think, as being at the very least a top promotion for fans to invest in, and invest in stars such as CM Punk, Danielson, others. I was saying on Fightful that I'd like to see. I think this would really help benefit the event if we were to see Sting versus Taker or some kind of involvement with those two and Darby Allin, get a star over and see those two. And then I'd also like to see certain other matches, such as maybe Zack Sabre Jr. I'd like to see some of the New Japan promotion come over as well that particular time. And I think the Elite most importantly have to really stand out because we gotta go all the way back to the time AEW first started, all because of the Elite, and the Elite I think deserve a big spot here at All In to possibly, I was thinking, team would say someone like Goldberg, give Goldberg a shot with the Elite and fight off I don't know the bad guys, CM Punk, Jay White, the Bull Club Gold, you know, and just have a fun event overall.
Yeah, like I was saying on my show, everyone thinks it's going to be Punk and Kenta at the Forbidden Door, but I would have Kenta and Punk basically beat up FTR, set that match up for the Forbidden Door, and then All In, you have Kenta face Punk, you know, they break up or whatever. But Punk's definitely going to be a heel when he comes back, so I think that might happen next week on Collision. I think we're going to see Kenta and Punk taking out FTR so after the match or whatever.
I mean like you said, Collision's coming up. What are your quick thoughts?
It's an untested market, and it's a perfect, a lot of people think it's not going to make it because it's on Saturday, but you got to remember too, there's no football season's done, the NBA season's going to be done, NHL's going to be done. It's an untested market. You might as well try it out, see how they do these few months, June, July, August, and then reevaluate. If you have that market, keep it going on Saturday. But maybe not have it every week. Maybe just make it almost kind of like WWE back in the day with Saturday Night Main Event. Maybe have it like once a month or twice a month or something like that on a rotating basis or something. I think that's what they should do if the ratings are bad. If it's good, then yeah, have it every week. You know, just I like it. I like how they're splitting the rosters. You know, because they don't want any confrontation with Punk and the Elite and all this other stuff. But, eventually we're going to get Omega versus Punk. I don't give a crap. There's too much money on the table. You have to have Omega versus Punk. You have to have Punk, maybe Punk and Samoa Joe teaming up against the Young Bucks. You can't leave that money on the table. You know, I always talk about WWE leaving money on the table. And, you know, they don't want to leave that money on the table. Especially when you're paying Punk $5 million a year. Paying Moxie $3 million a year, you don't want to leave his money on the table, so you have to have these big matches and dream matches for a Collision and the pay-per-views. So.
I was just looking up Scott Norton's tag team partner in WCW. I don't know who it is, but I was just figuring, what if Scott Norton, Eric Bischoff at Collision, it's the NWO.
No, I think Scott Norton used to team up with, like, Ice Train back in the day before he joined, like, the NWO. I think I vaguely remember Norton teaming up with him back in the day. Scott Norton. Yeah, I mean, Scott Norton was, like, a bust in the United States. The guy was, like, a big thing in New Japan, and then you bring him in, and then he's, like, just a jabroni in the NWO and WCW. It's kind of sad. It's, like, you look at, like Vader. Vader was big in WCW, but he was a total flop in WWF. I mean, I know why, because of Shawn Michaels made sure, you know, Vader never got his run, so whatever.
Yeah, so I was watching Vader on Dark Side of the Ring last night. Well, actually, no, I wasn't. I was watching, following Dark Side of the Ring, I watched, believe it or not, WWE Network. I hardly tune to that much anymore, but often do I do when I ever come across WCW films or footage. So I came across Sting, Vader, and even Brian Pillman. I mean, this guy's talking during 1995 before the WCW boom. And then you figure I watched prior to that time Dark Side of the Ring with, at the time, NWA, WCW, Magnum TA. And so I want to first hear from your perspective, Nate, because you're of course around that time, unlike me, and got to possibly witness maybe some of Magnum TA throughout that time. I mean, what are some of your early recollections, and did you watch the documentary?
No, I didn't watch it. So what happened to Magnum TA? Did he pass away or something?
No, no.
Oh, okay. No, I thought because you're talking about Magnum TA, I was like, oh, wait, don't tell me he passed away. I mean, no, I never really watched Magnum TA because I really was, like, WWF guy growing up. So after the car accident, Magnum TA, you know, that's when I started getting into WCW, maybe, like, the early 90s with Sting, Flair, Vader, Ron Simmons, and all them and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, Magnum TA had a lot of potential, and he would have been really great in WCW if it wasn't for the car accident, you know. It's just sad, like, an injury or this and that cost his career. You know, even, like, Dark Side of the Ring, I watched it last week with Chris Candido, see what happened with him. He was just the wrong guy in the wrong time in the wrong time period. Chris Candido would be great right now, nowadays. And a guy like Magnum TA would be the perfect guy for the current product of, like, AEW because they like those smaller kind of wrestlers and stuff. But, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course, you got Marginetti coming up, another smaller wrestler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that definitely would be great. Yeah, Shawn Michaels nowadays would be perfect for AEW. Marty Jannetty would be perfect for AEW. You know, the smaller, the names of the giant wrestlers are dead. I mean, you think about it, like, now, who do they have for, like, really big wrestlers anymore? You know, Moose, Wardlow, stuff like that, but they're not really over. Fans like the smaller underdog-sized characters like Bryan Danielson and, you know, like Moxie. Moxie's not really a big guy, you know, CM Punk, stuff like that. Technical wrestlers and high flyers like the Lucha Brothers and stuff like that. I think more fans are into that wrestling than, like, the big guy wrestling.
Since you're on the topic, real quick, if you had to determine one wrestler out of the whole AEW roster that belonged in WWE, who would it be?
Well, I mean, if you wanted someone to compete against Roman Reigns, it would probably be CM Punk. I would put him and probably Bryan Danielson. Those are probably the only two guys I could see go to WWE to compete against Roman Reigns. Other than that, like, I mean, Moxley would be a cool story because of the Shield. But, I mean, realistically, you know, Danielson and probably Punk are like one and two.
You know, to be quite honest, I don't see any wrestler on the AEW roster going to WWE. I just don't. I think if you take someone from New Japan, that's different. But AEW, man.
I don't think they'll go. No, but I'm saying if they wanted to go and compete, those are the only two guys I could see going. No way, Punk's going back. No way, Danielson's going back.
Based off talent right now, I'd say no. But as time goes along, if, you know, someone like Jay White, for example, maybe continues to generate some sort of buzz in AEW, it's possible. He could jump ship, but I think that's further down the line right now.
Well, I know one guy Vince probably really wants, and he probably drools every time he sees him on TV, is Wardlow, because, you know, Vince loves those beefy, sweaty men, so.
I think he has upside, too. I mean, the thing with Cody, I think people don't realize is, that I was even seeing in this documentary yesterday was that he's just like his father, that he just saw the talent, even if they were down in terms of, like, upside, for example. Like, there's some upside, I believe, in Wardlow. I believe there's some upside in, like, a rookie starts. And so you take some talent like that Cody previously invested in and is now in WWE. I mean, you look at the deck now, cards with AEW, they're without coach, basically, and it's all in, I think, Tony and some other buffoon's hands.
Well, I mean, they put themselves in a corner. Cody couldn't compete for the AEW title anymore, but I suggested on my show he could have had a loophole to that, saying, well, Cody couldn't compete for the title, but Cody Rhodes can, because he got the Rhodes name back, so. I mean, they could have worked that kind of angle in AEW, but I don't care a crap what Cody says. He left because his wife was getting booed, and the fans were shitting on Cody's wife, and Cody basically just listened to his wife and left, and that was it. I don't care what Cody says. That's the reason why he left AEW.
Wait, so he left AEW because of Brandy?
Yeah. But if you remember, he was starting an angle with Dan Lambert or whatever, and this and that, and the fans were shitting on Brandy, and then all of a sudden, a week or so later, Cody's leaving, Brandy's leaving. Huh, weird, you know? It's like, okay, how convenient, you know? So, yeah. You don't start a major angle and just leave like a week or two later. So that's what happened.
You can call into the show, 563-999-3522. Again, 563-999-3522. So, yeah, Dan Lambert, I remember him in TNA. He got a start in TNA.
Yeah.
And Lashley, I think really could have benefited off of him even more, even guys like Covington and some other players looking to possibly get their shot in the pro wrestling. I mean, there was one point in time, if you know, recall the early days of AEW, they brought in Jorge Masvidal and some of these other MMA fighters in the crowd, Paige Van Zandt. And that never came to work out with even Dan Lambert at the time. I don't know why, but
I'm very interested to see that. I saw was Amanda Nunes. She just retired from UFC. Very interested to see if she tries to go into WWE in the future, because I think with this merger with WWE and like the UFC and their parent company, I think we're gonna get like guys that basically can't make it or retire from the UFC gonna be crossing over to WWE to be wrestlers. I think, and Amanda Nunes will definitely be a big name. I could definitely see her fighting Rousey next year at Mania, so she'll definitely do what she wants to do.
Yeah, I know, WrestleMania. What do you think the WrestleMania plans are right now?
What, WrestleMania's past one?
Well, this coming one, because Nick Khan says that they're already determined to get things set in stone for WrestleMania season.
What? Already? WrestleMania season doesn't start until Royal Rumble. What the hell is Nick Khan smoking? Crack? Jesus.
Well, I just some new strategies going on WWE right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even think about WrestleMania until around December, January, Royal Rumble season.
It's coming to Philadelphia here soon. So, I mean, I think I'm definitely going to be at some of the conventions.
Yeah, Philadelphia. That's where you live, right? You live in Philly, right?
Jersey.
Oh, Jersey. Okay. I thought you lived in Philly. Oh, you're a Flyers fan, right?
Yeah. Did you hear my reaction on air?
No, I didn't hear about it. What would you do?
Oh, I'm gonna post it soon, but I just got a live reaction on myself when Ivan Provorov was traded.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that was huge. That was huge because. No, I mean, Philly hasn't really thought about rebuilding in years, so to be able to hear the news firsthand is, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they got building blocks. I mean, the NBA team's getting better. Eagles are getting better. I don't know about the Flyers. I don't know how they're doing, but, you know, baby steps, I guess. So,
What do you think about the Blackhawks? Connor Bedard and... Kind of Bedard and the Angel draft coming up.
Yeah. That's the only thing I got excited for. He's going to get drafted by the Blackhawks, and then we'll see where they go from then. So, it just sucks because I wish we can bring back Kane and find Taves and have him stay for two more years while Bedard goes into the system. So, you know, passing of the torch.
Where do you think things stay with Kane's career? Where would you see him going in the future? Kane.
I don't know. From what I've read recently, I don't think he's going to stay with the Rangers. So, I mean, he just had hip surgery, so he won't be back until, I don't even know, October, November. So, I don't even know. He might just take the season off and then see what happens. If I was him, I would take a year off and then reevaluate your career. If he does that, takes a year off, it wouldn't shock me to see him go back to Chicago and work with Bedard for a year or two and then retire as a Blackhawk again. So,
And then you got Alex DeBrincat, another Blackhawk, former Blackhawk, yeah. Is set to be traded possibly as well.
Yeah. Where are the rumors of him going? Is there any rumors?
I don't know, really. He's been to Ottawa. He's been to quite a few places, you know.
I got pissed when Blackhawks got rid of him. I'm like, why are you trading a 40-goal score? What the hell are you doing, Chicago?
Yeah, well, I mean, do you want to stick around for the Stanley Cup? I mean, real quick, I was just going to talk in depth about Magnum Tia.
Yeah, Vegas is doing great. Look at them. They're going to 1-1 in the Stanley Cup. They've only been in the league for 5 seasons. They've been in 2 Stanley Cups, and they might get a championship. It's crazy. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing things right in Vegas.
Yeah, no. I mean, I was just gonna say, do you want to stick around for Stanley Cup talk real quick? I'm just gonna give my thoughts on the
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the game the other night with that brawl at the end. That was cool. Like, the way to end the game, nice little brawl.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely some brawls in hockey, of course, and then you have the brawls in the past with the NWA, of course. So. No, just to wrap up on Matt MTA real quick. I got to catch some of his matches following the documentary. And right away, you could just tell, he was destined to be a star. And, I could just tell, watching some of WCW beginning at the time that there was a huge momentum swing going on within the locker room. They had just signed a deal with WCBS, and they were looking to establish themselves amongst possibly if they had gone further into the future, they could have very well, done some great things and compete with the WCBS. Even as you look at it now, WCW is still around. But case in point, you could tell there's a momentum swing. Also, feed off like the motivation that I felt, especially with TNA, when TNA was around, that you had a small working force of guys that made good money, but wanted to expand upon what they're doing and grow to heights, that were on a management at the time. So it's really unfortunate. I don't enjoy wrestling as much as I enjoy TNA or WCW. But, AEW, it's going to be a telling summer. Can they pull off some, good events, good matches, and just good overall attendance for the fans? Hopefully so. The business definitely needs, at the very least, there needs to be an American promotion that can, I feel, outwork the pace and rate New Japan is going at right now. Because right now, New Japan's the number 2 to me, followed by AEW, and then you got Impact, of course. Impact, by the way, just got a new world champion now, Shelley. I think that was one of the best moments I've seen in recent TNA history throughout some time, with Alex Shelley, and then of course some of the last X Division champions, of course. I mean, to see that guy come out on top was just great.
Yeah, that was good for him. Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually watching it live too. I was like, I hardly watch many TNA events on Impact Plus, but I said, I'm going to use this up to my advantage today since I paid for it. And I just happened to watch Alex Shelley win the championship. So, that small crowd there.
The guy that had a beat, that Steve Maclin guy, I'm sorry, I joke about him all the time, but that's not a wrestler's name. That sounds like Saturday Morning Bassmasters. You guys should be fishing on a lake. That's what kind of name is Steve Maclin? I don't know. He needs a new name or gimmick. It'll work.
Well, you say he's not. I don't think he's strong to make new fans like you. He's strong to be a full-time heel. So,
Yeah.
I guess he's on to some.
Call him Mac Daddy or something. I don't know.
That's a good name. Work with
Shane
McMahon.
Yeah, Macklin. I don't know.
I guess that's about it. So, we got 1 minute or 1 hour, 42 minutes still there, and we might end it a little early today, of course. So, let's go on the Stanley Cup. Nate, what did you think about the last game between Vegas and Florida?
Yeah, no, it's a good game. Good thing Florida has that guy Tkachuk on his team, but that guy's in freaking beach mode. Not like every playoff series. If it wasn't for him, Florida would have been knocked out in the first round against the Bruins. So, good thing they had him. He almost scored the tying goal in the final seconds. So, it'd be cool if Florida can come back and win it, but I just think Vegas is too good. And like I said before, they're doing things right in Vegas. I mean, what, 5 years? 2 Stanley Cups, and then they might win one. You got the Raiders there. Oakland A's are going to be moving there. Freaking Las Vegas is going to be like a sports capital of the world. They're going to really compete with, like, you know, New York and Los Angeles in the future for, like, who's number one sports city in the world. Las Vegas. It's crazy.
I don't know. Right now, I think Florida's a little ahead of Vegas when you consider that Florida's been around for 25-plus years now. They've, I think, established some growth, especially when I read the Hockey News magazine recently. And, look at not only Florida, Tampa, and you got Vegas who just started out. So, I mean, they are definitely on the brink of something. They are definitely on the brink of something, but I think right now, you know, they definitely been playing good hockey. Some of their originals – Mark Stone, Shea Theodore, and then, I think, despite what people have said about their goalie, he's just benefited just enough around the talented veteran depth, you know, especially when you look at guys who's just scored another goal, Chandler Stevenson last game that things are definitely looking up as we head into the next game between Florida.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always said it, like, NHL playoffs, just get in. That's all you got to do. Doesn't matter what seed you are, because anything can happen in hockey. I mean, look at the LA Kings. They were like an 8th seed, right? And then you see what they did. So just get into the playoffs and anything can happen. You know, a penalty here, a bad call here, you know, a power play goal, just goalie can stand on his head and steal 2 or 3 games. And hockey's like one of the craziest sports where, like, baseball, if you got like 3 top starters, you're going to win. You know, hockey, you never know. Anything can happen in hockey. It doesn't matter what seed you're on. Just get into the playoffs and anything can happen. It's crazy. Probably the only sport that anything can happen.
By the way, did you know who won the Red Sox-Yankees game last night?
Yeah, the Red Sox won in the 10th. Scored a run, and then the Yankees did a score on the 10th. Stupid ghost runner. They need to get rid of that ghost runner rule. That's so stupid. But whatever.
What's that?
The ghost runner rule. How they start a guy on second, in extra innings. Second base. Yeah, they need to get rid of that in baseball. I know they don't do it in the playoffs. Thank God. Holy crap. Fans will be rioting if they did that in the playoffs.
So. Yeah, but, the talk of baseball has been Ella De La Cruz lately. Rich Eisen recently said that if you're not watching this guy right now, I mean, you're missing baseball, essentially. The Yankees, Red Sox certainly don't have, some big stars like that right now on the rosters. But other than that, you look at the sign catch. I got to catch last night with Yoshida last night. He's been seeming to be a good addition so far for Boston, and then you add in, the talk of town in New York, Volpe. I think at first, I didn't like him, but now I'm starting to think he's going to sort of become that player that everyone likened to Aaron Boone at the time in New York. I think he could be that type of player who just, just maybe like Boone or even Brett Gardner in a way, you know, based off their size, based off their size and fortitude together, that they can, maybe do some working.
Basically another Derek Jeter, but with more power. Like, he'll hit more home runs than Jeter. Maybe not as a better
I just think they'll never be quite with, you know, with Volpe especially, a contact hitter like Jeter again, quite some time in New York, able to hit over 3,000 hits and such. I think Volpe is going to he's gonna benefit either way, whether New York wins or not. I think he'll be around for a good amount of time. Do I think Judge, along with him, will stick together for a period of time? Things are going to be especially determined very soon with the Yankees and the roster. If you want to know me, the Yankees are going to, you know, I think I was thinking this last night, there's going to come a point in time down the stretch where they meet the Baltimore Orioles, that, you know, they have some, they have some good games and then ultimate AEW collisions where the Yankees just, I think, fall apart. I don't think they reach the postseason this year. You look at the standings right now, it's Tampa Bay, maybe too soon to say, but it's Tampa Bay, Baltimore, and then the Yankees. I think Baltimore will get that wild card spot, you know, especially with Aaron Hicks, the way he's been playing right now. And I think
the Yankees. If Texas stays hot, you figure Houston's going to be hot enough just to get the wild card spot too. So that might work against the Yankees too. So.
I know we're getting a little off topic though. Maybe we could bring you back on, Nate, you know, and talk about baseball. But AHL Stanley Cup. We got time to talk baseball if you want. You want to talk baseball?
Oh, no, you were talking about the Yankees and wrestling stuff. I'll talk about baseball. I don't care. But, I mean, you want to talk about hockey? I'll talk about anything. I don't care.
How long do you got? Because I think we're going to wrap it up in an hour.
I'm leaving. I'm almost home, so I'm going to probably get off in about 5-10 minutes.
All right, yeah. I was figuring maybe a little less than an hour, I'll wrap it up. So, all right. All right, so Nate, you're a Yankee fan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about the Yankees and who they're playing next? You know who they're playing next?
Yeah, they're playing the Mets. I already told my girlfriend, if they lose one game in the Mets, I'm done. I'm not watching the rest of the season. You can't beat these bums, the Mets. I'm done.
I'm a real good friend with the Mets reporter now, I just caught in fact the Mets Hall of Fame induction, and
who they put in the Hall of Fame? Mets.
What's that?
Who are they going to put in the Hall of Fame? The Mets.
I was watching, and they have Al Leiter and Steve Cohen was there. Man, how can you pay so much money and yet feel really good about your team this year? I mean, I heard my friend say that the Mets are going to eventually sell at the trade deadline.
Yeah, it looks like it, because they're just like, you know. Anyways, it's the Mets. What do you expect? They win like 107 games last year. I said, yeah, don't worry about it. Once the playoffs start, you see the real team, the Mets. That's what happened.
So. Yeah. The Mets. Well, it's a Subway Series, of course, you know?
Yeah, Subway. Yeah. Oh, God.
Remember Jerry? Jerry the Subway guy.
Jerry the Subway guy. He'll give you a foot long. Yeah. Rose defense.
You know, that Subway seems to be pretty dangerous nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the Royal Rumble Subway, though. Did you catch that?
What?
The Royal Rumble Subway. I'll say it to you if you've never watched it
before.
Oh,
that video? Yeah, that's playing on the subway train. Yeah, that shit's freaking hilarious. I watch that sometimes. Yeah, those are freaking funny.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap up with some thoughts. So, what's your prediction for the next upcoming game between Florida and Vegas?
I think Vegas is going to wrap it up tonight. I think they're going to – if Vegas comes out shooting, putting pucks on the net, and they get a goal or two, I think they're just going to put a stranglehold, and that's it. You know, I think they're going to wrap it up tonight. You want to win it at home. You don't want to go back all the way to Florida, you know, give Florida any momentum, you know, for game six. I think they're going to try to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think things seem to be – pretty down after that previous game with the Florida Panthers, and so I wouldn't be too surprised. You know, Paul Maurice and his team really doesn't come out on top here. And you know, I think Tkachuk really has been playing his best hockey.
Yeah, you take them off the team, they're done. Florida was done a long time ago. Tkachuk wasn't on the team.
Yeah.
That guy's injured. And he's injured, too. I think he's
back. And, you know, if you look at the offseason ahead, I think they're going to definitely be a lot more moves coming for Florida. I think, as Paul Maurice put it, it's only been his first season, yet it's been to be determined about the roster, if or not they're going to win the Stanley Cup final and maybe bring back some guys. But looking at now, I see it very likely that Serge Bobrovsky doesn't come back. Maybe some other guys. I really like Sam Reinhart and Hagee, of course. You know, Hagee, that one-time goal at the end. I mean, I was surprising, although I think there are decisions to be made.
Yeah. I mean, Florida can't, you know, hate themselves no matter what happens, even if they lose the series, because they weren't even supposed to beat Boston. I mean, what were they, down 3-1 to Boston? The battle back to go to overtime? I mean, come on. You know, and then
Boston came back against the Yankees, or, you know, back then, early 2000s.
See, that thing, too, everyone talks about 2004 and this and that. Well, if you go back and look at that series, Yankees and Red Sox, the Red Sox were favored in that series. They had the better starting pitching. Hitting wise was pretty much even, and bullpen maybe the Yankees had like slight edge because of Rivera, but I mean, the Red Sox had the better starters going in that series, so it wasn't a shock that Boston won it. So
Boston, Red Sox, Yankees, you know, that was I think 2003 World Series was really the first time I got to witness Miguel Cabrera at the time starting out and win over the Yankees. And I weren't expecting the Chicago Cubs, of course, to be in that World Series at the time. But and then you have the Red Sox redeem themselves the following year. And, yeah, those are definitely some good times. Now think about today. You know, the Red Sox, Yankees rally, of course, it's not as strong as then. I think it's starting to build up some steam with guys such as Aaron Judge being around for a while now, and then you got Volpe come along with, you know, then Boston. I don't know, we brought up Yoshida, but Justin Turner. I think Justin Turner, good addition, especially for anyone's team. If Boston's not contending, of course, by a trade deadline, I could see him. I mean, I think the Phillies could use someone like Justin Turner.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, the rivalry is not around anymore. I mean, Boston's won the World Series. They won it a few times. So, I mean, really, you think about baseball with rivalries, you really only have, like, what, the Cardinals and the Cubs and, like, the Dodgers and the Giants, really, for, like, true baseball rivalries.
I think it's definitely been a good season, though. You know, I was saying before, my grandfather, who is now no longer with us, he No, he and I, you know, of course, used to watch a whole bunch of baseball games. They always say, oh, you know, these games are slow or whatever, but now you got the pitch clock. And so, I think the pitch clock has been nice this year, and I like how they introduced to it, especially the marketing, from a marketing standpoint, with Sebastian Maniscalco. I mean, that guy's funny, and I got to catch him with De Niro in the theater.
No, it's good. I mean, I like the pitch clock thing, too, because now you're changing the game. Now you're playing small ball. Now you're stealing bases and stuff like that. So now players are running and stuff. So you get the old National League feel. So I think the pitch clock is good. I mean, it sucks for some of the pitchers. But I don't think some of the pitchers don't mind the pitch clock, you know. So there's the good and the bad. So, I mean, what the hell? There was this thing I saw, like four pitchers' averages ERAs are bad ever since the pitch clock era. I'm like, how long do you need to throw a pitch a day? I mean, just freaking throw the ball. Get the ball, get the signal, that's it. Let's go. What the hell? You need a cup of coffee? I mean,
yeah, and I especially think, you know, now you get to see the, you know, real emotions take place during the game. You know, like, it's not where the player's standing in the box for so long and, you know, doing yada, yada, yada. It's been nice so far. I'm not going to go as far as say, yeah, you know, it's been a success, because I think we got to get the numbers and all that, and how, you know, surveys feel and all that, of course. But over time, I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Did you see that play that Milwaukee Brewers pitcher did? It was like a 3-2 count. He waited till it was almost zero, so the guy had to go off the base to pick him off. It was a good strategy move by the pitcher for the Brewers the other day.
So yeah, the Brewers right now, they got Yelich still there, of course, and then Burns, you know, those two. Burns, I think, slightly came close to winning a Cy Young, but he hasn't been the same, and I feel. And then you got Yelich. Yeah, I know. I mean,
yeah.
Milwaukee, they got that slide, of course. You know, when things go all right, you know, you slide down that slide, and yeah, I guess just hope, you know, that their days have been outnumbered from the days, you know, they had Brian Braun, and you know, they try to reestablish things, especially with Lorenzo Cain coming from a World Series team over in Kansas City, but it's really not as good as what I feel happening with Cincinnati right now, and then you know, St. Louis. I mean, I've been meaning to read the Cardinals Way book, because I apparently ran into the farm director of the St. Louis Cardinals, John Booch. And, I mean, I don't know if he'll come on, especially around this time of year where things are pretty hectic in St. Louis, but,
That wasn't a Tim McCarver book, was it? The Cardinals one?
I remember Jim Carver, yeah. I mean,
I know Tim McCarver passed away and all, but I'm sorry, but you can't criticize Deion Sanders what he did. He wasn't even going to play for the Braves. The fact that he showed up to go to his second job after playing in a football game tells you what kind of person Deion is. To criticize him, McCarver was wrong. I don't give a crap what anybody says.
We got a caller here. 973.
Sure.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, I jumped in a bit late, so is there any particular topic?
We're talking Jim Carver. I was just about to talk about Jim.
Oh, the all-time Yankee hater? Oh, I couldn't stand him. Ugh. You know, please. What a piece of trash. Ask any of my friends. I have a friend who can't stand McCarver more than I could, so at least we're on the same wavelength. I mean, what a bum. Not to mention the Yankee hater. But then again, what do you expect from a guy who was in the National League? I mean, you know, he just trashes the Yankees. And even does that probably on the Fox broadcast I saw him on. Yeah.
Jim McCarver.
I was actually
about to touch on Jim Edmonds, like the huge highlight.
Oh yeah, the anniversary of the cast was the other day.
Yeah, I remember Jim Edmonds, and then you know, of course, Albert Pujols. He's now part of MLB operations. Apparently, he was just a broadcaster, and he goes from that to that operations in like 3 months.
All right, Julie, I'm home. I'll talk to you in the future, man. Take care. Nice chat.
All right, take care, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Take care. Bye.
3 months. Yeah, well, yeah. Speaking of what happened to the Yankees the other day, one of their broadcasters was injured in during a foul ball.
Foul ball. Who's that?
Well, one of our longtime Yankee broadcasters. He was doing a play by play, and he got hit with a ball. John Sterling.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Apparently it wasn't Michael Kay, wasn't it?
Well, they don't do together anymore. Michael Kay does television, and Sterling just does the radio. So they're not together anymore.
Yeah, yeah. He sits in a higher press box, right?
You could say that. But, I had the TV broadcast with the Fox broadcast, so I wasn't able to hear Sterling's, play-by-play. I'm glad I didn't, because I would have been like, what happened here?
You catch that Yankees game that day?
On the TV broadcast, not the radio.
Okay. What did you think of the Red Sox? We were just talking about the Red Sox-Yankees series this past weekend.
As much as McCarver is a Yankee here, I am the number one all-time Red Sox hater. Believe me, I am a Red Sox hater.
Yeah, yeah. I like Fenway Park. I do, but those Boston fans. I mean, I've never been to Boston, but I hear that Boston a bit out of line, isn't it?
You can say that. I mean, I saw Fenway as well.
Okay.
It's a landmark, but I'll tell you something. It pretty much like a dumping ground.
Dumping ground?
Dumping ground.
Well, how would you compare Fenway to Wrigley? Have you ever been to Wrigley?
No, unless I probably flew over. But I've watched a few Cubs, White Sox games in Cubs. I think it looks a lot nicer than Fenway. Fenway looks like it's in a located near a sewage dump.
Who would want to really be in the A's position right now? They did win, I believe, 5 consecutive games last time I checked. But other than that, pretty hard.
Yeah, but at least the East is, competitive this year. I mean, all 5 teams are above 500, so you can't say it's, a crappy division this year. That just only goes to the AL Central. Yes. The tragic comedy.
Yeah. We were just talking about the Stanley Cup, NBA Finals, LeBron James. You cover that stuff on your show, Lou?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, you remember me? Wow.
Yeah. No. I familiarized your name, and I caught your show this time.
Oh. It's like, oh, you're the guy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm covering, of course, the Stanley Cup, the NBA. Friday night's game, how Florida had one last second to tie it up, and it just missed it. And the fans were not happy. I mean, throwing all kinds of crap all on the ice and everything. It ended and ended brutally ugly. And I think that might have been Florida's last chance to make the run here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's good right now for Miami or Florida. Florida in general, you know.
No. Exactly. I mean, Miami had their chance, you know, playing at home. Now they're going to Denver. I hate to say you're not going to see another like down 3-1 deficit and come back to win. No, this is not going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers of 2016. Forget it.
Yeah.
I think Miami is a golf.
No, did you catch most of what else happened this weekend? Did you catch the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup?
Oh yeah, I mean I live for this stuff. This is my time of year.
Yeah.
Call it a tennis too, because you know there was a milestone in the tennis world this weekend.
Yeah, no, that's why I asked you. Did you catch other stuff? Because
I called it with the tennis field. Grand Slam champion, new record. How do you like that?
Yeah, well, what do you think, tying Serena Williams?
Well, men's and women's tennis is different, I think, from each other, and you know, it's tough to compare. But you know, there's only one Venus, there's only one Serena, and I don't think I don't know how you can compare. Unless you want to do mixed doubles.
Besides Novak's performance, what did you think of Rudd's performance? I mean, didn't come out in any winning sets. Got outbeaten three straight sets to Novak. I mean, what are you thinking? Do you think there's any tennis players that can really catch up to what Novak's been doing right now?
Novak is the Joker. That's like what you call like a once-in-a-generational talent, and I think it's going to take another 20 or 30 years for anyone to even come close to that margin again. Joker was, you know, one of those rare tennis players, you know, from the get-go that talked about and, like, set the tennis world on fire. That doesn't happen every year. I mean, yeah, you might get one guy, you know, who's coming out of the ranks and starting up and, you know, does something, but to be a phenomenon like that, that doesn't happen to every tennis player.
Yeah, I'm just looking up here, Leighton Hewitt. I remember starting out watching tennis. Leighton Hewitt was a huge name to watch, and I think, you know, I think he happened to retire a bit early without, of course, any surmountable, you know, substantial majors on his resume. And, you know, you look at him and then Rafael Nadal, of course. I think another one that could have very well, if not for injuries, gotten close to Novak.
Well, injuries will do it to you.
Yeah, huge fan of Rafael. In fact, was close to picking up his book at Barnes & Noble. But other than that, though, obviously the younger tennis stars step up. You know, Carlos Alcaraz has been one lately, you know, being featured in the top rankings of tennis.
Right.
Yeah, and he's only pre-21. He could very well much, I think.
Alcaraz? The whiz kid. I know, but you know he's good. But is he gonna be better? Or is he gonna do like a flash in the pan? Because sometimes these young stars, so-called stars, you know they burn out after like a year or two. You know, so it's off to a good start. They call him a phenom or what? But what's he know as time passes.
He's very much become the quickest number one ranking.
Yeah.
And Yeah, he's broke. I think he's definitely broken some early records to just possibly consider very well. He could, I think, at least win 10 or more majors well into his 20s, as we haven't yet, or as he's never yet gone to.
Right.
Then you look at you look at Rudd. I think obviously he was just outsmarted. Novak, but much younger than Novak. But Novak, he just and of course had such force on Benny of the forehands and some backhands and then. It was definitely his time, his moment. I don't know how many French Opens, of course. I'll look it up, how many French Opens versus, like, U.S. Opens, for example, he's won. He's also never been afraid to, shy away from the U.S. Open, for example. He's always, I think, one for the most part, to play for fun and, most of all, support his family, who was at the French Open and along with Tom Brady, got to receive, the acknowledgement and praise from a legend like Tom Brady. So really nice, really nice. And if you take a look, I don't know how many French Opens he's won versus U.S. Three.
I think he's won three French Opens.
Well, Alcaraz was knocked out against Novak, and so who's to say Alcaraz faced off against an outright legend himself as well, and came short to something you could face with, face with and admiring a guy like Novak, of course. I'd say, since I can't quite look it up, for the most part, who's really been successful most times at the French Open, and that's been Rafael Nadal. It's been Nadal's tournament. So, Novak to just take advantage of worth opportunities and come out this huge. Now he's the opportunity to go for the all-time record, 24, and become the all-time great in major wins. Something hopefully gets talked about a lot more, when you consider how much of the publicity Tiger Woods is kind of the past, and now how Alpha shaped out. That's a different story if you want to touch on that.
Right. Yeah, they can name a steam after him one day. Rafael Nadal tennis court.
I was listening to your show. You were talking about Birmingham?
That was the one of the USFL games. This past weekend.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I cover that too. I cover USFL. I know 95% of the population doesn't really care, but if it's noteworthy, I bring it up. And we're heading to the last week of the season this week too. Of the regular season, that is.
Huh. So, the USFL, and no, I just heard the XFL did in fact lose $60 million in their first year.
Hmm.
So, I guess, I don't know. This is definitely a more better time to watch football, I feel, than what the XFL is presenting. Maybe I'll tune in. I haven't really, to be honest, tuned in all year, but, I see it on TV time, but, who's in the playoff?
Well, it hasn't really been determined yet, but I think the Generals are going to be out. Philadelphia looks to be in. Birmingham looks to be in. And a few others, but and the South Division is a lot stronger than the North. Our division is crap.
Yeah, that's nice. New Jersey actually has a team.
Don't forget, we were one of the originals in the original league too.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Philadelphia Stars. I don't know who to root for, mm-hmm. the Stars or the Generals, but you know, this, you know, USFL, it was around starting back around 80s, 70s.
83. I was there.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, I wasn't around.
I'm not as young as I look.
What's that?
I'm not as young as I look, man.
I can't hear you.
I'm not as young as I look.
Oh. Well, I mean, no, I mean, you know, definitely continue doing your thing, man. And, you know, continue calling. I definitely look forward to hearing you anytime you call in.
Oh, great. I hope you get a chance to tune into my show.
Oh, yeah. You want me to come on your show?
If you can.
All right. You know, I'll tune in. I'll maybe post a comment, but maybe down the line though. Maybe down the line though. Really, really occupied with things right now.
Okay.
All right. It was good talk.
Don't forget, we're also on YouTube. Just go to Enhanced Sports Show and then type it in on the Enhanced Sports Show, and you'll see past performances.
Performances?
Well, past shows I've done.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, I've been trying to, like, you know how they have those reels and shorts on YouTube.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've been trying to do that, and you know, I feel like if you do that more, especially, you know, I think it works out for all of us, you know.
Yeah, so just go to YouTube and dial in and type in the Enhanced Sports Show by those exact words, and you'll see some past shows that I've done.
All right, it's been good talking, Lou.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care. All right. That was Lou. That was Nate. Go check out their shows. Lou of the Sports Zone on YouTube. And then you got Nate Inside Wrestling, of course. Yeah, if you want to call in, pitch in anything, go right ahead. And apparently I'll whisper right in that someone was just checking out my son outside, so I think. In case you don't know, right in my backyard, I have a Sports Kingdom sign. Some people walk by time to time in our park in the park right here in the backyard here. So, like I said, I was going to end it within about a little less than an hour. We're now almost an hour left in. I just want to go ahead real quickly, check on some any trending news before we wrap up. There may be news that seems to lead to an hour of more conversation, although just going to here. So Atlantic City, yeah, I've been meaning to get there. That cut jaw. Wow, that's trending. Cut jaw is trending. I don't know. It's not one of the top trends, but I don't see why some maybe Grizzly fans would want to cut jaw. I mean, I really feel like it's too soon to say. I'll talk more about that once the announcement is made, although Mbappe is trending. Let's see what's the latest on Mbappe. Oh, yeah, you know, this is obviously leading to a MLS. Like I was saying before, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more MLS stars to join or stars internationally join MLS along with Lionel Messi. This just didn't. Kylian Mbappe has informed PSG that he will not extend his contract by 1 year, meaning his contract will run out next summer. Surprised. I am not. I'm not surprised. I'm not saying that Mbappe is yet to join up at MLS or enter Miami. That matter with Lionel Messi just yet, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know, this is some. I mean, Mbappe leaving PSG. You know, not the Champions League or Premier League, but PSG. I'm pretty certain his home country, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Paris. So, likely leaving France, and I mean, he could go a lot of places, really. But I mean, if he were to join MLS, I mean, Mbappe, of course, to me, even though he did not win the World Cup recently, was the best player, I think, and is the best player, could go on to be the best player, no doubt, and be maybe not as, you'd say, marketable like Lionel Messi. I think there's still some years, miles left to be said with Mbappe making a case out to be someone, especially as, say, profitable, being able to load in the cash of money like I believe Lionel Messi has done over time. And, of course, it helped Lionel Messi win the World Cup recently. Mbappe, you know, he really truly show a spectacular competitive nature by bringing it over to MLS. I mean, it would be a joy to watch, and I think it would be a joy for the players to maybe not a joy for some, because I think Mbappe would certainly take money out of some pockets in MLS, but I feel like MLS could, I'm going to stand by it, stand on the cusp of some sort of evolution here. I think they can certainly reach heights they've never gone before. I think Mbappe may very well opt to go somewhere else internationally, come to MLS eventually down the line. But say year one, for example, Lionel Messi, MLS, things turn to work out. You know, people may go at first, no, he's not really been as a joy to watch year one, you know, especially with his age. You know, maybe year two, the perception might change, however, you know, depending on just how much, you look at Miami right now, they're attached to Lionel Messi, even stars like Jimmy Butler, and I think LeBron saying something about Lionel Messi as well. You know, that popularity start there, and then just, aiming to maybe evolve with, you certainly got a lot of obviously a lot of American players right now in MLS. I mean, I think certainly one thing at a time. Well, I like Tim Mbappe coming to MLS, yeah. But I see it likely. You know, we just gotta wait. Gotta wait. As of now, it's only been announced. Well, it's gone now. But at PSG, parting ways with Mbappe, arguably my favorite player to watch, other than maybe Neymar, is leaving Paris, France. So, as we were talking about before, the French Open took place, and many fans shouting out in French. I couldn't quite understand some of the French being said. Pardon my French, but it's been quite a year so far. We're into the half point pretty much of the sports year. Lionel Messi joining Miami, highlight, and then Florida teams also coming back down from deficits in the postseason, and then March Madness. We saw some powerhouses like KFC, Kansas, Alabama. Really thought Alabama was gonna have it this year, and Creighton looked good for a while. Many good feature teams this year, and then you got the NBA draft coming up with Wemby. And Scoot was just watching some highlights on Scoot Henderson last night. He may not have an outside shot, but think about how many jump shots I feel Derrick Rose took out throughout his career and managed to go on to be a pretty good player. Not saying Scoot Henderson's going to ever, for example, win the MVP early on as say Derrick Rose, but he has really good potential when I watch him, especially a little bit early on in his Thanksgiving hoops days at the leap he's generated. He's become a more explosive player around the rim for sure. Definitely has athleticism. Hails from Georgia. I think it very much could be said he could be a better Georgia prospect, I feel, than Jaylen Brown or even Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I really feel Scoot Henderson has some real star potential. And I'll say it again. It's got to start first a little bit off with his 6'9 wingspan and 6'2 frame. I mean, he's just an athletic freak in general. Did see Wemby as well live play 2:30 in the afternoon in a France tournament internationally. And many people were there, including Tony Parker. I mean, and of course, Spurs brass already keeping tabs on him. Wemby, what noticeably stood out came when he spun around. So, I mean, at first I thought, man, it just looked like he spun around so quickly and foolishly hit a shot like Kobe Bryant in a way, but No, he flawlessly executed a spin around shot, spin-a-rooney, and managed to have some highlights, but would I say, for example, it's good whenever Wemby is getting boxed out so hard down low and isn't accumulating much shots around the rim. I mean, like I said, there's many, many aspects of his game that just aren't in a pure form standpoint, like say a Steph Curry or Tim Duncan, at least as of yet. I think Wemby has the potential to be an all-star yet again. I'll say that, but I just don't think he's ever going to be better than Nikola, for example. And then as I look at the draft now, some people, I think, don't have any reason to be mistaken saying that Scoot Henderson better, if not better than Wemby heading into the NBA draft. I just think people project Scoot to be a shooting guard, but really he's a really good playmaking point guard, which is why I lean back to Derrick Rose a little bit. You know, he's a really good playmaking point guard who can just be so explosive around the rim. You know, has a humble personality like Derrick Rose in a way. Wouldn't be too surprised if we're saying maybe a couple years from now that he is arguably better than some of the best, when you include guys I just already mentioned, Jaylen Brown, Anthony Edwards, or Edwards, and then I lean on Donovan Mitchell to just put briefly, you know, both almost stand out the same size and measures, but you know, just Scoot Henderson's more athletically gifted and has the opportunity, I feel, to be just as much better, if not better than Wemby, at least if you look all around, especially from the perimeter in. I'm not saying the perimeter out, because yet again, Scoot needs to work on his outside shot more, as he's been doing on short highlight reels. But for the most part, he can, I think, definitely work around the point where he can take some tremendous jump shots like Jimmy Butler or Derrick Rose or some like we've seen in the past, and just be as efficient all around the rim. So really high on Scoot Henderson. I think, you know, I saw Damian Lillard be so high on Scoot Henderson at Portland Trailblazers workout. I mean, I see no reason to believe why not. The Trailblazers, I think, have a chance to possibly still build a contender. People are talking about where Damian Lillard's going to land, but really no one's talking about the Trailblazers right now. I think the Blazers can go in so many directions. I mean, if they take two Scoot Henderson and pair him in the backcourt with Damian Lillard, I mean, that very much be all worth it. But then also take into consideration, they can, according to rumors, trade Aferne Simons and get some good value for him. I mean, he's owed, I believe, or at least I know, over $20 million per year up to the time his contract expires, a little over the time his contract expires. Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised either. They can get something out of Simons, and you know, obviously it's Jeremy Grant leaving for free agency right now, and then you know, I think they got some good talent coming up. You know, it's been said that Damon Lillard will be paired with Joel Embiid or someone else, but according to some reports, the Blazers are going to land Scoot Henderson at number 3 overall, and there have been some terrific picks over the years at number 3 overall. Can't go wrong, really, especially in this year's draft. Odds are Brandon Miller heads to Charlotte on my mock draft soon. I promise you guys, I'm making sure I do it as much soon as before a week prior to the NBA draft. That LaMelo Ball pairs up with Brandon Miller. I think, I think people should be talking more about Char right now. They have the number 2 overall pick, and they do have LaMelo Ball. I mean, there's so many moves I do with Charlotte right now. Charlotte needing to get rid of some contracts, one being Gordon Hayward, I feel. You know, I feel if you mix in a trade with LaMelo Ball and Gordon Hayward, for example, along with the number 2 overall pick, because I just feel like LaMelo Ball is just, I feel maybe the lesser ball or lesser baller than you want to say Lonzo Ball if Lonzo Ball were still playing. Just say, for example, you know, he I think could benefit going to, you know, I was thinking, if Charlotte wanted to get creative, they trade LaMelo Ball to maybe a better market that he can excel in, because I just feel Charlotte's just not the right place, and obviously for some, but you take, I'm not saying you have to trade away LaMelo Ball to Golden State and trade him away for directly Stephen Curry, but just say Stephen Curry, who happens to be from Charlotte, father played in Charlotte, goes to play for Charlotte, because really things are up in the air, I feel, right now with Golden State. But just say, you know, Klay Thompson goes elsewhere, like it's been reported, and Stephen Curry lands in Charlotte. You get Steph Curry. You know, maybe you factor in the number 2 overall pick. I mean, I think right there itself, Scoot Henderson, Steph Curry, I mean, that would be huge. That would be huge. I mean, just say you take a 3-team trade, you get someone like Steph Curry to pair with Scoot Henderson. I mean, I think there's definitely some mileage left to be put on right there with Steph Curry's career and what Scoot Henderson can do in terms of reshaping the Charlotte franchise. I think I just gave away a huge bonus right there, but that's something I would explore. And then, you know, Brandon Miller to me is definitely not someone you take right away at number 2 overall. In fact, I don't think he's worthy of being a number 3 overall pick, in all honesty. I think he much better had a great college career as to about what he's going to have overall in the NBA. I think there's much to be said later on our YouTube page, but for now, I think I'm going to see just here. We got 42 minutes left. It's been a fun show today. Keep all the chatter going, especially here on Twitter. You can tweet the show, of course, at SportsKimTV if you ever don't want to call in or comment in our Facebook section here on Blog Talk. If you're just listening in live on social media, we now have the live media player, of course. You can listen to hear anywhere, especially on the go, of course. Look out here. The Eagles currently have five players. This is from Liam, Ron Hertz. Five players who are in conversation to be top five players at their positions. Jason Kelce, Jalen Hurts, Lane Johnson, Darius Slay, A.J. Brown. Well, if Lane Johnson can stay healthy, I'd say there's a good chance there. Yeah, the Eagles, I think, were, despite what some said and despite what some other reports said as well, I think the Eagles were leaning towards drafting an offensive lineman, offensive tackle most specifically, pretty high within maybe, say, at least very well the first round or second. But, yeah, they did went with Steen out of Alabama. I mean, much can be said about that pick as well. Maybe not been as high as I thought, but he could very well, I think, benefit. And there's always, you know, people are Eagle fans, don't seem to realize this. You know, I think there tends to be a shakeup almost every year with the Eagles, whether it's the Eagles offensive line or defensive lineman. It always seems to change. Maybe a year or two in, an offensive lineman comes out, or year two or three, like, say, two or three offensive linemen come out in for, now, of course, some much younger talent. I mean, Lane Johnson's past the age of 30 by now, has been a first-round pick ever leaning back towards 10 years ago in the 2013 NFL draft. I mean, I certainly think there are not many players, offensive linemen, left from that draft. You know, you could arguably say as good as, say, Lane Johnson by now, but, in the first round at least, but I'd say Lane Johnson definitely has a chance to stand out yet again. Be as good as A.J. Brown would necessarily say so. I mean, I think Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, you know, they both benefit off each other. And, yeah, I think both just have to really stay in good shape and be ready to go. Then you got Jason Kelce, to wrap it up, Jason Kelce, Darius Slay. Those are just two right there I'd cross off. I'd say three out of five work in the conversation, but out of all five, Darius Slay, Jason Kelce, yeah. I don't know, Jason Kelce was just thinking about retirement not too long ago, and Darius Slay, definitely worth saying, at least if he can put on yet another great season. But I don't see him being amongst at least some of the top corners in the NFL. What I argue he can put on display a still a decent secondary. You know, it's new defensive coordinator. I really like the new defensive coordinator in Philadelphia. He said a talking game, but I'm not too sure he'll be able to at least produce a top 10 secondary in what Jonathan Gannon established in Philadelphia. And I think Jonathan Gannon is going to do some great things. I think he's already off to a good start in Arizona. I don't know what happened here. What's this? There's a huge spoiler in terms of Against All Odds Fallout TV on Impact. I'm just looking to get the scoop here because I found it very interesting. Impact Wrestling. No. They don't often, sites don't often give out spoilers anymore on Impact as they used to, and of course, ruin their reputation, I feel. Today's Monday. Where's my lemon water? I don't know, it doesn't really say anything, although I hope to find out who this is very soon. I'm going to read the comment section. Ah, freak. What's going on? Well, if I know more, I'll let you know later on. But just reading the time, it's 5:25 now here on the East Coast. I guess that's about it, though. I want to thank you guys for tuning in today. Just reading over the rest of the news before I get going. But much more here later on SportsCam. Apologize if we started a little late today, but we'll. Keep you updated. So thank you very much for tuning in, and peace out.